Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Keeping It Reals, the coolest live radio show about all things geek on the internet. This is your host, Eduardo M. Fryer, and with me at the start of things is my wonderful wife.
Hello.
Hello. Your name is Hello?
Hello. No, it's Patricia Fryer.
Patricia Fryer, yes. Whatever. And, well, you know what? Well, today we are, of course, going to review and talk about the hit Marvel film Black Panther. But I'm going to have to start things on a downer note. Because before we went to air, as I'm getting ready to go live, news came in about the passing of a great actor and somebody who, well, if you're a geek like us, you'll recognize his name, David Ogden Steers. For more, Trish, why don't you take the reins?
Oh, well, he is probably best known for his role on MASH. He played Charles Emerson Winchester III. And kind of the villain, kind of not. But he was amazing on MASH. He turned into actually a very popular character. But he is also an amazing voice actor, too. He did so many voices in Disney movies and television shows that it would take a long time to name them all. But most notably, he was Cogsworth in Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, he also, wasn't he also in Lilo and Stitch?
Yes. Yes, he was. Dr. what, Jumba?
Yeah.
Jumba?
Jumba, yeah, I think that's how you pronounce his name. But yeah.
He was in Pocahontas, he was the bad guy. Well, a lot of people don't even know this, but he was also the bad guy's little assistant, too. He insisted
really?
On doing both voices. Really? Yes.
Oh, wow.
Wiggins is his name, Wiggins, that's right. But my gosh, for some reason I cannot remember the name of the villain, but I remember the name of his assistant. Go figure. and he's done other voices on other animated shows as well, and yeah, he's just a lot. He was, you know, the narrator in the new Beauty and the Beast, and he's done a lot of voices on different video games. He has a very, very notable career.
He did. He actually did two voices. He actually did some voices for two Miyazaki movies when Disney brought them into English. He was the voice of the Kamaji, the guy who helped run the furnace and Spirited Away, and he was Grandpa Piccolo in Porco Rosso. The thing that gets me about both those voices is he has this raspy, high-pitched voice for both roles. And it's like, you see, oh, David Ogden Steers. And I'm like, I couldn't put two and two together because it's just such a departure from his usual, you know, kind of very low, very, very kind of refined way of speaking. But something, though, probably one of his best live action works for me would have to be an episode of Star Trek The Next Generation called Half a Life, where he played an alien scientist that comes from a civilization that when you turn 60, you have to be euthanized. So, you know, he's kind of helping the Enterprise out on a science experiment, and he's like on borrowed time. And it's just, you know, it's just a really powerful episode. Plus, it came out in 91, and this was right around the time of Dr. Kevorkian and all that kind of thing. So it was just very timely, and he put in a powerhouse performance. But you know, kind of like how just basically like Kevin Smith and Ralph Garman say on Hollywood Babylon, just huge bag of wind, and he will be missed.
Bucket of wind.
You know, this is bucket of wind. Yeah, bucket. Sorry, yeah. Wrong B word. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
David. Sorry, man. Much love. You will be missed. Rest in peace. Vaya con Dios. Seriously. But yeah, I do notice Iggy. I noticed that you joined us and you've been sitting quietly.
I have been listening quietly.
Wow. That's, you know what? Hey, testimony to the power of David Ogden Stiers and how much of an awesome actor he was. Iggy joined us. She was sitting quietly. No commentary. Just, you know, much respect. Awesome job, Iggy.
Commenting on, you know, the correlation between, what is it, you only have until the age of 60. I'm like, that's one hell of a retirement.
Definitely. But anyway, okay, so let's move on here, because I don't want to dwell too much. Just you know, and we got to get on to the main topic of conversation. Black Panther. Well, first of all, everybody's seen it, and I know Trish saw it because she was with me when I saw it. So, and Iggy, I think you said you saw it.
Yes, I did.
I seem to remember all of us exchanging messages and whatnot, and you're like, "Black Panther's awesome." Yeah, that's and you know what? I gotta agree. That is just that. Marvel's done it again. I mean, and first of all, this movie had a lot riding on it, because Black Panther he's been one of these characters that's had a movie like percolating for years. You know,
I like
for
that
the longest
word
time.
For you.
Yeah, well, that's the best word I could come up with. You know, it's one of the, you know,
it,
he
it was
one
the
of
best
these.
Word.
Yeah, because I mean, it's like, I think since the 90s or so, they were talking about doing a Black Panther movie. I remember Wesley Snipes. He was interested in playing the title role. I can't remember if this was before Blade. I think this may have been after Blade, but he was like, yeah, I want to be T'Challa. I want to be the Black Panther.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you kept hearing talk. And then it wasn't until recently, you know, when you had the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe, and then they say, oh, these movies are coming out. And then they said Black Panther, and everybody's like, whoa, wait, hello, what? What? Black Panther? Okay, we're there. Black Panther, he did his debut in Civil War. About a year or two ago, you know, same thing
mm-hmm.
with did the same thing that Spider-Man, he kind of guest starred in somebody else's movie and then they spun it off. Okay, let's start things off though. Let's start things off with this question. Do you think that the powers that be, that, you know, Kevin Feige and everybody else at Disney and, you know, who run the whole Marvel thing, do you think they did the right thing in introducing us to T'Challa and the Black Panther in Civil War and then doing this film later?
It definitely sparks an interest. So, I don't know. I don't know if Trish has a different opinion or not, but I feel like the way that they did it is like, here, have a taste of chocolate ice cream in the form of Neapolitan. And if you like that, have some more chocolate.
So if this is okay, so we have Neapolitan, I can figure out who's the vanilla and who's the chocolate. What's the strawberry?
Definitely female, for obvious reasons.
Well, let's see. Well, okay, Black Widow's a redhead, so it could be Black Widow, or it could be Vision because of the whole kind of purplish reddish skin.
No, definitely Black Widow. Strawberry. Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did like how they how he was introduced in Civil War, because, you know, not being a comic book fan, I didn't have any clue who he was. And so it was nice to have like a slight little introduction so that we had some kind of clue. And so then it was just like, oh yeah, I'd watch a movie with him. Sure.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. And I have to admit, I'm familiar with the Black Panther. You know, being a comic fan since like I was like a child in the 80s, I was familiar with Black Panther. I have to admit, I never really I've read maybe a couple of issues here and there of the various comic runs, but never really was like an avid collector. But I was familiar with like the base, you know, a lot of with the basics and a lot of the characters that were thrown in. Like I knew enough about the Dora Milaje that when they, you know, when we had one or two running around in Civil War, I was like, oh boy, you know, it was enough that when one of them went face to face with Black Widow, that I was like, oh God, it's going down.
You're about to get your shit wrecked.
Yeah, this is the whole, oh man. But yeah, but then watching them in action here, I was like, oh wow, oh holy cow, yeah, damn.
See, I gotta tell you, Black Panther had some of the better fight scenes, or combat scenes, sorry, not fight, because as far as fight scenes, I think Civil War would take the cake with that one. But the combat scenes itself, like fucking Michonne throwing the fucking spear, and it's like, ah, you missed, bitch. No, she didn't. Okay, the car's roasted. It's done. Okay, and then her, like, majestically flying from the balcony down. I'm like, what is this beauty that I'm watching before my eyes? It's just awesome. Just an entire badassery. It's got a master in badass.
Definite masterclass. Definite masterclass in badassery.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that you just upgraded it. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah. Something though, right off the bat, what I got to give credit to director Ryan Coogler and just the production team for is getting the look of Wakanda, the look and feel. Because, I mean, right from the first time we ever saw Black Panther, he showed up in an issue of Fantastic Four. But right from the get-go, Wakanda always had this look, this way of blending, you know, the traditional African cultures that just go through the setting with all this high technology. You know, this whole thing where you have... You know, the warriors have spears, but the spears like are sonic weapons, and you know they have the African shields, but they're like, you know, laser shield type of things. You know, just,
well, it's
just
funny
all...
that you would say that Black Panther had a. You said that it popped up in Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
It's funny though, because Michael B. Jordan, the antagonist in the film, was Torch in Fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah,
I
saw
like
that.
How
and,
they just, woo.
Yep, it was a nice unintentional homage.
Or was it?
You know, or was it? Well, I did see memes going around where it has like a shot of Chris Evans as like Human Torch, and then as Captain America, and then Michael B. Jordan as Human Torch from Fantastic, and then Killmonger, and it's like the Marvel films redeem Human Torches, and it's like. I just have to, I mean, I try not to laugh, but then I'm like, yeah. It's like, well, you know, if you were in a bad superhero film, come, we're going to give you a new role and it's going to be a lot better. Okay. People
we
are going to say, wow, actually he's a good actor. Yeah. He's a good actor.
Okay. But I will
say
this. Okay. Michael B. Jordan pissed me the fuck off because he is one of those actors. Okay. That you have seen in many movies. You have seen him. You like his roles. Okay, you see him in another movie, and you're like, who the fuck is he? I know that actor. I know that face. Who is he? I know it. I literally had to pull my phone out in the middle of a movie, cover it with my hand, you know, so it wouldn't, like, bother anybody. And it's Michael B. Jordan. I'm like, God, I fucking knew it. Ah.
Yep.
God, first time I ever seen him was in Chronicles. Terrible, awesome movie of horrible, fucking cool things. I don't really know. It.
Yep.
The whole movie's an oxymoron. But yeah, I.
Yeah, no,
I
know what you're talking about.
He's so big. How did he was just a skinny little nothing. He's just like everybody that works for Marvel. I swear to God, they become legitimate superheroes. Is there like a superhero school that they go through? I mean, I question whether they legitimately have flying powers and abilities at this point, because I don't understand how you go from being a normal-looking human being to this the supreme, like, advanced class of human beings. Like, I want to go. I volunteer as tribute. I want the transformation.
Well, I think part of it is that when you get into a Marvel movie, they want, you know, they especially if you're playing, like, the main antagonist, you know, it's the type of thing of, okay, here's a gym, go nuts. You know, we want to see you, you know, we want to see you get ripped. We want to see you, you know, look, you know, we want to see you go one level above badass. Here you go, you know.
Yeah.
Here, here's
and here's
a trainer,
personal
you know?
Trainers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, and but I got to say, it's, you know, that battle between Killmonger and T'Challa, it's like, yeah, lots of eye candy. Lots of eye candy. It's one of those. It's one of those things where you know you watch the two of them shirtless, and it's like, you know, I mean, I'm like flaming heterosexual, but I'm looking at this and I'm like, yeah, I can't, like I can't.
I'm
compete.
In the mood for chocolate.
Nope.
I don't know why.
Pretty much, it's like yeah, no, I you know, yeah, but.
What did you think, Trish? What did your lady? Your lady parts thing. I mean, your opinion on the movie was.
Well, I love the movie. I, you know, didn't really know what to expect going in, but just right from the beginning, even when they were just telling, like, the history of Wakanda, I just was immediately sucked in. And I'm just like, I want to go to this place. I want to live in this place.
Yeah.
And I just got immediately sucked in, and it was just really good, and I loved all the characters. Well, except for the bad guy. Of course, you know, the bad guy was such a complex bad guy, which what was really cool, because he wasn't just your typical run-of-the-mill, you know, average villain. You know, he had a lot of different layers to him, and that just made it even better, because it's like you kind of felt sorry for him. I mean, you couldn't really forgive him for what he did, but you could kind of understand where he was coming from. And that, you know, makes it very different from what normally happens.
Yeah, I see what you're talking about on that point. I do. But what I couldn't understand, I'm like, it's not the kid's fault. Like, it's not like he was like, Dad, I'm kind of pissed that you killed my uncle. You didn't bring my bitch-ass nephew with you, though, right? Because if you did, I'm not taking the throne. I'm going to be pissed. Like, I'm not going to be happy about this. You know, that didn't happen at all. Nobody knew about this. So it was one of those, like, belligerent, over-the-top rage, and I'm just a Killmonger, and I'm just a berserker brute that really doesn't have any real intelligence. Well, does, but really doesn't bother to attain that. It's just by brute force and sheer intimidation. We're just going to get my way.
Yeah. Well, see, that's, I think that's, you do bring up an interesting point. And yeah, I think Killmonger definitely, you know, if you're stacking Marvel villains, he's definitely now in the top five, at least.
Not even, he's just obnoxious. That's all it was. It wasn't even
well,
like,
no,
oh
well, no,
God.
No, see, well, see, okay, this is where, I got to disagree with. This is where I do have to disagree with you, Iggy. The thing about Killmonger, I mean, okay, here's the thing, you know, first of all, even if T'Challa and Zuri didn't know that Killmonger's dad had a kid, it's one of these things where it's like they didn't even bother to find out, or they didn't, you know, all that they were concerned with was, okay, we got to keep our secrets. You know, Wakanda has to keep their secrets. You're breaking that. Okay. You're breaking the rule. And you want to bring our tech out and cause trouble with it, that's a no-no, and you're going to have to die. You know, and although it is important to remember that also T'Chaka was going to be like, okay, Come on. We're going to go home. You're going to have to answer for your crimes. You know, the whole thing of him getting killed in his own home, that was not in the plans. It just so happened that he tried to attack Zuri and it was a self-defense move. The thing about Killmonger is his beef. Okay, it's weird because it's like, here's the thing. He has a legitimate beef. He has a legitimate right to be angry. Where the problem lies is that it's not, you know, okay, I don't like what was done to my father. I don't like what was done to me. I don't like this. I'm going to go about changing this. The problem is that he's going from 0 to 60. It's okay. I don't like what was done to me. I don't like how this is run. I don't like this whole secrecy thing and leaving everybody to twist in the wind. So I'm going to put myself in charge, and then it's going to be everybody who I think has fucked us over is going to get royally fucked. I'm going to take this high tech and we're going to start fucking shit up, because you know what? I'm pissed, and this is the only way I can get unpissed. So it's one of these things where he has a right to be angry. It's just, he's going too far. It's like, whoa, dude,
yeah,
I know you're
directing,
angry.
And yeah, he's directing the anger at the wrong people, because T'Challa and his family, they had no idea he existed. So, I mean, if they had known, they would have brought him back to Wakanda. They would have taken care of him. He would have been raised in the family. But the thing is, though, he's blaming them for what their father did, you know? And, you know, you can't do that, because they had no idea. Mm. They couldn't have prevented it. So,
And at least even Zuri, one of the ones who was kind of responsible, even he kind of steps up and goes, okay, you have a legitimate beef. You have a legitimate right to be angry. You take it out on me. Okay. I was a part of it. You take it on me. Like, he took responsibility. And he was like, okay, no, it doesn't have to go this far. Come on. Just take it on me. I'm right here. Go for it.
Yep, and he's like, fuck it, both of you, don't care, you're not changing my mind, you're not going to strike me with morals and the right thing to do, I'm dead set on what I want, and
I don't even think he's thinking that, he's just like, you know, what he is it's just, no, you know, it's like, okay, you admit it, all right, so, you know, If I can borrow something from the Distinguished Competition, there's a line in the Batman animated movie Mask of the Phantasm where Alfred goes, anger blackens the soul. And I think that's what's going on here, is that Eric Killmonger he's like on an anger spiral, and he's not going to let it go.
No, I mean, look how many people he killed. Holy crap. I mean, all those marks on his body for every person that he's killed. Yeah, his soul is completely black. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it's not even, you know, and it's like when he killed the, when he poisoned the lady at the museum, you know, it wasn't even really out of malice. It was, I got to get this vibranium axe, and, you know, in order to do that, I have to do this, and you're going to be a casualty. It's like, it's kind of like a sorry, but this is the way it's going to be. Like, don't know what to tell you, you know? Sorry.
Yeah. He just, as a villain, he didn't really come across as really as a villain or even intimidating, in my opinion. He was just more of a, this guy is clearly going to die. We are not going to see him again past this movie. So he's just that nuisance of, you know, I am this, you know, crazy, irrational, fucking impulsive berserker. And at the very end, you know, he doesn't want to deal with the consequences of his actions either. He feels like he is completely vindicated in what he's done. You know, his soul is at rest with all his actions. He legitimately does not give a shit. So therefore, as far as him as a character in the movie, the audience really doesn't have a reason to give a shit about him. You know, it's not like one of those villains that it's like, oh, shit, look, right there at the very end. Oh, if only he had survived, it would have been, you know, there would have been something. No, I don't even know that much for him.
Well, I mean, Killmonger, like, at the end, yeah, the whole, you're talking about the whole thing where he was stabbed and T'Challa's like, you know, we can heal you, and he's like, no, no, not gonna, you know, not gonna do that.
What, so I can be in prison? The thing is you know, T'Challa was not even, like, he doesn't even look like the type to go and imprison him. He would, like, yeah, you would be detained, but you'd try to work with him because it's his cousin. He'd try to get through to him and make a proper citizen, a proper person out of him, you know. So it's not like he would have been incarcerated for the rest of his life, you know.
Can you abide
by our rules and be a good person or not?
You know what it is? I think Killmonger, the thing with Killmonger in that last scene is that he had kind of a weird code. And for him, it's like the only way that if it's not going to end in triumph, it has to end in death. Like, this is not, you know,
or,
like the only way to, the only way to go out
one.
With, you know, it's, well,
or,
it's the only way for Killmonger, the only way to get out with honor was going to be if I'm not winning at all, then I'm checking out. Then, yeah, because for him.
Or,
and,
how how awkward would it be, though, if, okay, yeah, he gets healed, he gets to survive, he gets to do whatever, okay? Don't you think it's a little awkward if, you know, he survives and after all the mayhem that he's caused in Wakanda and all the different tribes, and all this bullshit that happened, I mean, it's not exactly going to be easy for him to be in Wakanda doing, you know, living a normal day-to-day life. You know, he's probably going to be that dickhead.
Yep, no one's going to trust him.
It's going to be awkward.
Of course the option is, you know, it ends here because, I mean, yeah, sure, you can have that, you know, it's not... What he did is not called honor. What he did was death by pride. Okay? It's called pride. So, well, I failed. So now I have to die because staying here is not an option. I'm either going to be incarcerated or if I'm free, I'm not going to be welcomed. And therefore, what his father said would in turn be his life because those that when he's becoming the Black Panther and he talks to his dad, he's like, you know, they're not going to want you. They're not going to, or, you know, they're not going to accept you.
Yeah.
Something along those lines, you know, but that would be what would happen. You know, so either way you look at it, every which way you flip the coin, it's bad, really bad. Well, I guess I'm going to die then.
Yeah. Well, I think, what he told T'Challa, like right before he dies, he goes, no, I'm not going to, so I can live in chains. I think what he's thinking. See, he's not even thinking, oh, you know, T'Challa's going to work to redeem me. He's already thinking, if I don't die here, you know, if I don't go out with honor, and I'll use air quotes, then I'm gonna be in chains. And no, you know, because his whole thing. Remember, he's done. Part of the thing is that he's in the unique place. Where he saw what was going on with you know, on the outside. You know, he was living in his dad was living in Oakland. You know, they weren't living the life of luxury. They were in the streets. He's seen and he's learned about all the crap that Africans have gone through when they leave the mother country. So for him, it's like being in jail in chains. It's like, nope, I'm not going to be another one of those. I'm not going to be another one that's going to be brought down and put in chains. The fight's done. It looks like I can go out, you know, I can go out figuratively on my feet, and that's what I'm going to do. Like, not going to be one of those in chains.
Well,
like,
I mean, he was technically on his knees, but I mean, okay, yeah, still.
But like, figuratively, he was going out, you know, he was going out standing. Like, he fought hard, he beat T'Challa once, and he gave him a fight. So it's like no disgrace, you know, going out, you know, he's going out like a warrior. But, you know, if I could switch. OK, but if I could switch here, because Killmonger was not the only villain that we had to deal with in the film. We also had.
No, we had Crazy Psycho Irishman.
Yeah, in this case, we're talking about Ulysses Klaue, played by Andy Serkis. Another character who, by the way, made his debut outside of Black Panther. In this case, he had a small role in Age of Ultron, where we saw how he lost his arm. You know, Ultron ripped it out. And, well, as we saw in Black Panther, he decided to replace it with a an artificial one, which could fire sonic blasts. I don't know. Iggy, have you ever seen pictures of the comic book version of Claw?
No. Nothing's coming to mind, so no.
Okay, well, yeah. He, in the comic books, kind of the same thing. At one point, he lost his hand. Instead of that cool artificial hand that opens up with the little blaster, it's this weird kind of, almost weird kind of bell type of thing that he has over, in this case, his right hand, and it fires off the sonic blasts. The thing about Claw in the comics is that his body has been 100% transformed into kind of solid sound. So he doesn't have a human body. You know, and most, like, 90% of the time when we see him in the comics, he's got, like, this, it looks like he's wearing an outfit of, like, red spandex with purple trunks. So, yeah, I do notice that they kind of went to...
I swear, Eddie, every time you show me what a character really looks like in the comics, I'm
okay.
Usually embarrassed for that character. So,
okay, all right, well
like,
see...
Really?
Well, hey,
someone has to draw it. Someone has to draw it, and
yeah.
You're to draw one
yeah.
like that. I
well,
guess,
he's a villain,
still.
So fuck this guy. He's gonna look like shit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and don't forget. Don't forget these are comic books. So
yeah.
You know the so on occasion there is flights of fancy where the outfits look like something that would be, you know, that if this was real life. The only place that Claw probably wouldn't get stares is, you know, South Beach or certain clubs in New York. But yeah, I do have to admit that his traditional outfit probably would not have worked in you know, live action. But you know, the point here though is I think Andy Serkis as kind of a side villain, I think Claw was fun to watch. Because I mean, we had the complexity with Killmonger, but you know, we also had the fun over the topness.
Mhm. And I'd like to take this moment to thank my favorite character in Black Panther, and is the chief of the gorilla tribe. I fucking love him.
Yeah,
oh,
M'Baku.
My God.
M'Baku. Yeah, he's the other. He's actually the other villain that they pulled in this movie, because in the comics, he has been, like, I'd say 90% of the time, he's been an antagonist to Black Panther. He's actually tried to take over Wakanda several times. M'Baku, though, I gotta give M'Baku the MVP award for this movie as far as getting improved from his comic version. Because, see, here's the thing, okay? In the comics, M'Baku, most of the time, has been referred to as the Man-Ape. And his outfit...
The Man-Ape?
The Man-Ape. And his outfit has literally been a white gorilla pelt that he just wears over himself. If you don't believe me, Google image, you know, Marvel Man-Ape, and you will see it. It's one of these things that when I heard that M'Baku was going to be in the movie, I'm like, okay, he's been a cool villain. How are they going to do this? And when I saw pictures of how he looked, when I saw that they're referring to him just as M'Baku, I'm like, okay, this could work without getting some people mad. Without looking very un-PC, because yeah, I don't know how you could have a character called Man-Ape. It would not work. But I do love how they pulled him off. I do love that they have elements. You know, they still kept that his whole tribe had the whole gorilla motif, and you know, he did have that kind of gorilla skull helmet when he and T'Challa fought when he challenged T'Challa's right to take the throne. So they kept the elements, but, you know, they worked with the character so it wouldn't look like... it just would not look ferociously un-PC.
Oof. Can we talk about my favorite characters?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, my favorite character was Shuri.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Every time she was on the screen, it made me happy. And every time she wasn't on the screen, I'm like, when do we get to get back to her? I like her. But she's smart, she's sassy, she's pretty, you know, everything. So
I heard somewhere that Shuri is actually supposed to be smarter than Tony Stark.
Ooh, what a bar.
Yeah, I saw a little comic where it shows Tony Stark showing her something and saying, "Oh, this is our latest tech," and she goes, "Oh, that's cute."
Pride.
Wham.
Yep. No, and she's definitely been the breakout. She was the breakout star of this film. Gotta love the scenes in her lab. You know, like when they bring in Martin Freeman's character, Edward Ross, and she's just like, oh, Faith, look, another damaged white boy we have to fix. Another broken white boy we have to fix.
And then I'm over here just... married to a white boy going, girl, preach, okay?
Ow.
Well, you know, when she said another, I forgot that Bucky was
Bucky
in Wakanda. You know, so I was like, who the hell is she talking about? Because I totally forgot. And then, of course, you know, that got answered at the very end credits. You know, I was like, oh, that's right. I forgot.
Yep.
Yeah, it was a huge hint drop.
Yep. And actually, when Black Panther was in production, right after I saw Civil War and I knew that Black Panther was coming, I was like, oh, man, there has to be an end credits scene that ties into this. Or at least something in the movie. Interestingly enough, a few weeks ago, there was a comic book released by Marvel that is supposed to serve as like a lead in to Infinity War. And it actually does get into Bucky on ice in Wakanda. And we do find out that what Shuri did was...
That sounds like a terrible musical.
I know, it's like, Bucky I watched that show, Bucky on Ice,
yeah.
Sure.
Bucky on Ice, yeah.
I didn't know
but we do, yeah, what we find out is that Shuri, basically she had to almost reboot Bucky's mind. Like, she had to kind of reset it so that she could get rid of all the brainwashing and all the trigger words and everything.
Uh-huh.
So, and my guess is the reason why Bucky was in that little village at the end credits was because with all the crap going on with Eric Killmonger on the throne, she probably made arrangements for him to get kind of taken, you know, get taken out of the lab and, you know, put to recover in the hut so that, you know, nobody would be. So, yeah, if Killmonger was running through the lab, he wouldn't be like, ooh, white boy assassin on ice. Let's see if we can set him loose. It's like, nope, not going to. No way. Did way too much work trying to get him back to normal.
Yeah, knowing Killmonger, he would have just killed him.
You know what? Maybe killed him, or maybe just kind of, again, seed if the trigger words still worked and been like, okay, let me have a laugh and send him out to go kill people. I think the other one, not as breakout as Shuri, but still, just whenever she was on screen, had to be the general in charge of the Dora Milaje. Let me figure out how to apologies in advance to anybody listening who's like, that's not how you say her name. Okoye? No, that's not her. That's not her. That's the other guy. Trying to think of how to say her name, but
may the odds
you know
be
what I'm
ever
talking
in your
about.
Favor.
Yeah. But you know
what
I'm talking about?
For the sake
leader...
of the joke? You know what? For the sake of it? No, I have no idea what you're talking about. You're going to have to say the name.
Okay, but yeah, Okoye. Yeah, yeah, that's her. The leader leader of the Dora Milaje. You know, she's also, I mean, not as breakout as Shuri. I think every time she was on screen, I'm like, oh, wow, geez. It's like...
That's Michonne you're talking about, right? From The Walking Dead?
Let me see, because one of the great things about doing this show is we can actually go to IMDb
yes,
while we're talking
yes,
and look this up.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yep.
Yes,
yep.
It is.
Yep, that's Michonne. Like, of course she went from a katana to a spear. Of course she did. She's still a badass.
No, and just her whole thing with wanting to spear Everett, wanting to kill Everett Ross, or at least rip his hand out. It's like Ross, you better learn the language and just figure out how to defuse this, buddy, because she no like you. Which that's the other thing we have, you know. One of the things I was surprised with, Martin Freeman is in this movie. He's like one of the few in focus white guys. His character was another one that debuted in Civil War. And it's interesting seeing him here because his character was not like major comic relief. I mean, yeah, there's some humor out of the fact that number one, he couldn't tell what Okoye was saying, and you know he also just his whole look of shock as he figures out what really is going on with Wakanda, but you know it wasn't typical Martin Freeman, like you know other than the fact that he has to get over his shell shock over the secrets of Wakanda revealed, he seemed like a pretty competent guy. I mean, both here and in Civil War.
It still kills me, though, every time he talks with his American accent, because all I know from him is his work, you know, in British movies and television, and so I'm so used to him with a British accent that it was when that American accent comes out of him, it's just like, did they dub him?
That's him.
You know what's interesting is that the British can do an American accent like no other. Okay, and yet Americans try to do a British accent, and everybody's like, fucking stop. Stop right now. Stop.
Yeah. If you don't believe us, talk to Dick Van Dyke.
At least I have an Australian neighbor, so, I mean, like, she'll say certain things, like, she'll be like, Izzy, do you have some water? Water? Water.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm like, what, water? You mean water? Yeah, she's like, I can't say it like that without like getting double chins, but she has to like, I don't know, she can torch her face. It's like, what? No, I don't like saying it like that. It's interesting. I'm like, how did they just, I didn't know that American accent was actually a thing. I'm like, you know, you don't really think about these things, you know, and not to mention I get really, like, really salty when somebody's like, oh, I can hear your accent. Where are you from? I'm like, you have any idea how hard I worked to get rid of my accent? How dare you? How dare you call it out like that?
Oh, no. Sometimes, depending on what I say and whether or not I'm switching back and forth, some people can tell right now as I'm speaking, a lot of times people can't tell that that I have, like, a Cuban family. But if I start dipping into Spanish a bit, then all of a sudden, you know, someone's like, oh, wait, are you, you know, like, depending on where we are, they'd be like, are you Cuban? Or, oh, you're Hispanic? I'm like, uh-huh. Soy cubano.
Pretty sure they call you Mexican, but that's cool.
I don't think anybody's ever said I'm Mexican.
I did.
Don't think I've ever run
am.
Into that.
No, you're running into it right now. Mexican. Mofo. Jesus.
Yeah, no, never had that. Never had that. Well, although
I've never been told I have an accent, not that I'm
married to a Mexican.
Yeah. Of course, I'm white than white. So yeah.
Well.
And then, aren't you a teacher too? Like, what are you, like a math teacher?
No, I'm a teaching assistant to a pre-K class.
Okay, so you probably do math. So you're Mr. 1, 2, 3.
No, I don't do the Juan 2, 3. I don't do
first
the one,
name
two, three.
Juan, last name 2, 3. I was teaching math today.
Although for a while there was a kid in the class that for a while I did use Spanish on to get her attention, but then I was told, okay, she needs to try to learn English, and I'm like, okay, so I stopped.
Okay, I fucking loved the forgot his name again. Ape Man.
Oh, M'Baku?
Manape because it sounds like menace. So I'm like, where's his mustard? You know, so I can't say that. But I loved him just because, okay, first of all, I didn't really see him as a villain so much as, you know, somebody that wants the throne. That's what this event is for. He waited till the proper moment to do so. You know, he followed all of the guidelines. And then, you know, granted, you know, Black Panther had to be like, hey, don't forget about your people, man. Tap out. You know, they need you. Okay. And so, okay, he picked his people over his pride. Excellent. So, again, doesn't strike me as a villain just yet, just kind of an asshole, but it's okay. I mean, you're kind of going contesting the king for his throne. That kind of makes you a little bit of an asshole. But whatever, that's fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes time to when, you know, he gets offered the flower and, you know, he looks at it and he's just like, you can see that moment of contemplation, but he chooses to do the right thing.
Yeah.
You know, and the way that, you know, the white boy starts talking to him, and basically instead of, because apparently shut the fuck up is not an acceptable thing to say in a PG-13 movie, so we're just going to oof at him until he stops.
Yeah, well, not to mention that we're dealing with people who find themselves royalty, so, you know, when you feel that you're, you know, and plus, you know, it's like, you know, he's leader of his tribe, so he's kind of royalty, so yeah, tell it, you know, saying, shut the fuck up, white boy, that, no, you don't do that, you know. You don't know
that. That's an R-rated movie.
Yeah, well, not to mention also, if you feel that you're king of the Jabari tribe, kings don't say shut the fuck up, you know. Like, if anything, at most, they'll be like, be silent, you know.
Oh, why? Because they have to be proper? Okay. No, that's cool. I'm learning.
It's a decorum thing. It's a decorum thing. Yeah.
I've been leading with the wrong fucking way, that shit. All right.
What can I tell you?
Shut the front door right now. The front door of your face needs to shut.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Well, he did have that little bit of humor, that line of, if he speaks again, I will feed him to my children. No, I'm just kidding. We're vegetarian.
That cracked me the fuck up, okay?
Oh, yeah,
like,
no,
that's
laughing.
That's me as an antagonist, okay?
Yeah.
That is, if you want to put me as a villain, that's me. That's exactly how we go about it, okay? But, you know, does the right thing, whatever. They ask for his help, and he's like, you can do a backflip and go fuck yourself. No, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Whatever. It was worth a shot. Whatever. But when it's time came through and you hear that, oof, you're like, no shit. Did he, is that really? Oh, he showed up. And that's exactly the help they needed, too.
Yep.
It's precisely the help they needed at the right time, too. It's almost like they were watching. No, wait for it. They're going to remember us. Wait for it.
Yep.
Okay, now.
Yep. Well, that's the thing. I mean, if there's any motivation behind M'Baku's actions, it's, hey, you got to respect us. Okay, we broke off from the other tribes. We're doing our own thing, but you know what? We got to have respect. Okay, we're not just the scuzzy neighbor that you don't go into the backyard. Okay, come on, respect. And it's like, okay, well, if we all have to show up and kick your asses, alrighty then. You know, okay, all right, we'll do that.
The whole point of him wanting to take the throne was to take things back to basics. He's saying his argument is the technology is clouding your heritage, your roots.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take it back to basics, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that in the decisions that he made as leaders, it was based on those roots. Not because I like you, not because I want to be friends with you or be allied with you. It's because that is who we are. That's the whole point, is the roots and in the heritage and what the tribe really is supposed to be and stands for.
It didn't really strike me
as a villain.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, I think that's also part of his motivations in the comics when he's tried to forcibly take the throne. There's actually a funny story. This is one of the ones I read. Because in the comics, for a while, Black Panther was married to Storm from the X-Men. And when they got married, it was this big, you know, this big ceremony.
Storm.
And you had like world leaders coming in from all over the place. And at one point, M'Baku does show up and he's ready to start a fight because he's like, oh, you're having this big celebration. And, you know, oh, did I get an invitation? And then it's like they tell him, actually, yeah, we did send one out to you. Did it get lost? And he's like, wait, you did want me to be here? It's like, yeah, you're a tribal leader. You know, all the tribes are welcome. Yeah, you could have come here, no problem. And he's like, okay. So he just basically came to the wedding, hung out at the reception. You know, it's just like, oh, wait, so it's okay for me to be here. It's like, yeah. It's like, okay then.
Well, that really fucks up my plans, but okay, yeah, no, sure, I'll
take
them.
Well, you know, it's basically, I'm here to start shit because, you know, you're leaving me out of the party, and it's like, no, we're not. Come on in. It's like, what, for real? It's like, yeah, no, come on in. It's like, okay, all right then. Okay.
No, I didn't actually plan for this, so I'm not sure what to do now.
Exactly.
yeah, but there's one thing that I found interesting is that, you know, Wakanda's, you know, trying to be secret and whatever, but yet you're sending out spies all over the place, you know, like their own version of the CIA, and I found that to be interesting because that's a bit of a extreme for somebody who's trying to be so private in, like, almost Switzerland, you know, like just, we don't want to mess with you, don't mess with us. We're humble, we're nothing, but at the same time, we got our feelers everywhere, you know, so it's okay for you to infiltrate everywhere else, but nobody can infiltrate you. That's the part that I like kind of made me raise my eyebrows going, okay, why?
Well,
that's a little fucked up, but all right.
It's, you know, and it's something that was carried over from another story in the comics. You know, Wakanda, here's the thing. It's like, yeah, they're very isolationist, but, you know, they're still interested in making sure their borders are secure. They want to make sure that nobody's, like, trying to kind of peek their head in and see, you know, see what's behind the curtain. So
while they're doing it, though.
Yeah, but it's one of these things. It's like, it's a very preemptive sort of mentality, which is, okay, we're here trying to keep ourselves.
Double standards 101.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that the movie deals with is the fact that, okay, we spy on people, you know, we come out and, you know, we take a look at what's going on, but we don't do anything. You know, we just basically say, okay, this is what's going on the outside. Okay. We're going to stay with the door closed. You know, we're going to stay with the windows rolled up. So yeah, that's one of the things that the movie actually touched on and that we actually got at the end where, you know, T'Challa buys the building where Killmonger grew up and is like, okay, I'm tearing this son of a bitch down and we're going to build an outreach center instead of just having the door closed. We're going to be like, okay, hey, guess what? We're Wakanda. We have this awesome technology. We know that there's some of you out there that are smart as hell. Do you want to take these things to good use? Do you want to better yourself? Come on in. Here's the door open. Here's my sister Shuri. She's a genius. She's got all these cool high-tech toys. You want to play with her? Come on in.
I want to. Never mind.
Remember, Shuri's like a teenager. She's underage, so watch what you say. Which, by the way, Shuri in the comics for a while actually was Black Panther herself. She took over the role from her brother for a while.
I thought she was gonna take the flower. I thought she was gonna do it. And I'm like, oh
yeah.
Snap! Little sister's gonna save her big brother.
Well, you know, hey, you know what?
It didn't end up happening.
Well, don't forget that Wakanda is going to be a big part of Infinity War. So,
yes.
You know, who knows? With all hands on deck, it may just be if they can find more of the flower that T'Challa is going to be like, okay, we need a couple of Panther people. Shuri, drink this Wakanda heart-shaped herb-flavored Kool-Aid because, yeah, we're going to need you to be more than just having high-tech toys.
Wait, do
like,
they still have any flowers left? Because those were all burned.
You know what? Yeah, it seemed like the flowers are all gone. But I can imagine that. I can imagine that if they really want to, that in a sequel they could reveal that there's another catch of heart-shaped herbs. You know, because I know that I think is one of the interesting parts of when Killmonger took over, is the fact that not a lot of people were happy with it, but there were those that wanted to stick to tradition, and tradition said, you gotta follow, you gotta follow the throne no matter who's on there.
Wait a minute. Wouldn't burning the flowers, just burning them alone, that wouldn't really kill them, would it? Yet the roots are still in there.
You know what? You know, it depends on how far. It depends on, like, how badly those gardens were burned. I mean, is it one of these things where it even destroyed, like, the roots underneath? It all depends. But I'm sure that there are ways that you can kind of go around it. So if in a sequel, you wanted to have, like, more heart-shaped herb running around, that you could be like, oh, and by the way, there's this catch over here. Or, you know, the vibranium is still there, and it's supposed to be, I mean, I think, I don't know if this is supposed to be like this in the movies, but I know in the comics, when that meteor crashed and seeded the area with vibranium, that is what mutated the heart-shaped herb. So as long as the vibranium's there, you might be able to, like, recreate it. And I see, by the way, that Norman has been able to join us. Norm, how
hello,
you doing?
Hello.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right.
How you doing? Have you been following along the conversation?
No, unfortunately, but
talking about.
But I was able to pick up where you guys were on the. I'm assuming you're discussing why he was removing power sources.
Well, I think as far as burning the heart-shaped herb, I think that was Killmonger being like, okay, you know what, this shit ends with me, okay? Because ain't nobody else gonna.
Yeah, no, he went Zoolander on that bitch. There can only be one.
Yeah, if you think about it this way, if you just ingested the juice from the heart-shaped herb, you've got the powers of Black Panther. Do you really want somebody else to be able to take a heart-shaped herb and go, hey, I'm drinking this and I'm getting my Powerade moment? You know, it makes sense that, you know, if you want to, I mean, T'Challa's supposed to be dead at this point, but you don't want anybody else to be like, yep, I'm drinking the Wakanda heart-shaped herb flavored Powerade. I'm
going
to get myself some
he's
Panther
going
powers.
Against something that a lot of people disagree with. So, you know, of course, he's thinking that if the situation that he was, you know, if the situation was reversed and he's under a king like himself, he knows that he's not leading well. He knows he would take the flower and try to overthrow the king. So he's trying to eliminate karma and, you know, going full Zoolander on that shit and just, no, no, it's just me and nobody else. And this is going to happen by sheer brute force. And I will fucking choke smash anybody who gets in my way.
Yeah, no. And again, it's like, it kind of brings the interesting fact that, the way Wakandan society is, it's like, okay, the king is the king, and, you know, there are people that if the king says jump, you don't say how high, you just start jumping. And, you know, and it's, yeah, that was what the gardeners had to deal with. That's one of the things that was kind of cool about Okoye's character, is that conflict, because it's like, okay, I don't like Killmonger. It's obvious he's going to be bad for the country. As a Dora Milaje, I have to, you know, my orders are to obey the throne. He's on the throne. You can't go against the throne. And, you know, I mean, eventually
I was just going to say their whole society is based off of that unquestioning hierarchical society, because until that point it had worked, and it had worked fairly well. But then you have that rogue element where someone from outside their society takes the throne. Oh, fuck, this is a different shaped cog in our thing, and he's just fucking everything up.
Which only proves the entire point of no outsiders allowed, because, yeah, it does upset the balance, but only if you force it to be that way. I mean, yeah, it was working, it was doing really well, but ultimately being a very, very selfish thing. to do to the world, you know? So,
well, and also it's like, that's one of the things behind, that's also kind of one of the things about, that's kind of one of the things that's about monarchies in general, is that, yeah, when you have the system, it can go south really quickly, because you could have someone like, okay, Iggy, you're Queen Iggy the First. Okay, congratulations, you're the queen. You're an awesome queen. Okay, you're great. The people love you. The country does really well with you in charge. Unfortunately, time catches up and you're gone. You know, you pass on. And then let's say you have, I don't know, let's say you have a young son. Let's say you have young Ignacio. Okay, you have young Ignacio. He ends up getting the throne.
I resent this a lot.
Ignatius the second.
So yeah, you have Iggy the, you have Ingrid the first, and then Ignatius the, and then Ignatius, son of Ingrid. And unfortunately, he ends up being just the worst king, makes the worst decisions, and he's just a total megalomaniac. Oh, but wait.
Okay, so blame his father. Okay, got it.
Okay, but basically, it's like, okay, but I mean, you see where I'm going with this, the problem with the system, which then Killmonger kind of shows off, is that this whole blind obedience to the crown means that you end up getting, you end up getting somebody who has the throne, who obviously is no good for it, but, you just kind of have to sit there and twiddle your thumbs and just go, nope, yep, okay, yes, oh, yes, sir, no, it's an awesome idea to burn the heart-shaped herb, yes, sir. Okay, great. Yeah, no, here we go. I got the matches. And in your head, you're like, oh, fuck, we can't be burning this. But, oh, okay, so, King mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore, wants to do it. So, fuck. Okay, great. Wonderful. Burning my livelihood here. But I can't say shit. Wonderful.
I think world hunger is a wonderful idea, sir. Let's do it. Fuck.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep, exactly. One thing I do want to touch on. I spoke about this with Trish, but I did want to bring it up because it's kind of part. If we're gonna review this, we did have the end credits scene led into Infinity War because we had Bucky reviving. But before that, we kind of had a mid-credits scene, and that was T'Challa talking before the UN and kind of saying, okay, Wakanda's opening the borders. We're going to be sharing the fruits of our labors with the entire world. I do like that it ended right there with somebody going, what the fuck can you offer us? And T'Challa just smiling. I like that that's where they ended it. Because, I mean... They could have just as easily faded to black after like kind of a bitch please moment, but I love that we're kind of left to our imagination as to how exactly T'Challa put his money where his mouth is about
you have to understand that these people think that there are these third world nations
right.
Little nothing. Like, what are you going to offer us?
Yeah.
Dust from the wind?
Yeah, it's like.
Smiling, like, I'm going to make you eat your words.
Exactly. But I like that we didn't get to see what he did to make him eat his words.
The movie would have had to have been rated R.
Yeah. Well, either rated R or, I kind of think it worked a lot better. Not seeing it, because then we're left with our imagination as to what he pulled out, and it's like, oh, we just made this. It's like, is that an iPhone? Oh, that's cute. Okay, here's a Wakandan design group phone. Here, look at this. Okay, look, here, I'm going to bring up last week's Will and Grace. Oh, is that on 3D? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, wow.
You just
you
showed
it?
Your fucking age.
Do you
have
it? No?
Right now? Will and Grace?
Wow. I was about to say, Will and Grace.
Hey.
That's, yeah, that's on the fucking level of Friends.
Let's also talk about must-see TV as well.
Well,
right?
From
the sun.
Trish, back me up here, please. Back me up here. They're throwing shade on Will and Grace.
No support. Oh, look at that. No support.
It's not shade.
No,
it's just
support.
Showing your age.
What? Hey, it's back. Okay, it's been on. Okay, new episodes have been on air since like last year. Okay, so no, I'm not showing my age. Okay, it's back. It's on TV. Okay. Okay, Trish.
We're old, Eddie.
Trish, back me up.
We're
here.
Old.
What? Okay. Oh.
We are.
No, I feel like Rodney Dangerfield.
Again,
the field, but
showing your age.
Okay.
But all right.
No, whatever. Whatever. He pulls out his Wakanda cell phone and like manages to download Netflix like five times faster. There is that better?
I want a Wakanda car. I want a Wakanda car. I want to be able to open the door to my fucking vehicle and it'd be like, "Good morning, Mrs. Matthews. Would you like some coffee?"
Yeah.
"Oh, please, absolutely. I would love some coffee. Brewed to perfection, my dear." "Okay, cool. Excellent.
Or you know what? Would you
like me to drive you to work since you're busy with your coffee?" "Yes, please."
"Or you know what? No.
I'll do you one better.
I'll do you one better for have that rig that Siri had where you could remote control the car from your house." So it's like, you don't have to worry, you know, you need to pick up the kids at school. No, it's fine. You go to your living room, you go to where that little VR thing is, you sit down, you know, it has all the weird beads or whatever it was made out of, you know, you just kind of sit down there.
It was
there
sand,
you go, the,
actually.
Sand.
They called it a sand table.
Sand table. Okay, so, you know, you sit in the sand table, it molds to the car. You drive up to the school, you know, it just opens up, and then, you know, you have the little speaker, and you're like, "Okay, kids, come on, you know."
Pretty sure that it would get used for porn, but okay.
You know what? Probably.
Porn eventually.
Probably, but, you know, we're trying to sell this technology here, okay? We're trying to talk
okay,
the practical stuff first
porn.
Before we get to
that is the easiest way to sell it, Eddie, porn.
Okay, well. There you go.
I don't know, guys.
It's
a sand table. It's made out of sand. I don't think I want
charges.
Any of that inside me.
Actually, you know what? Okay, see, oh, there you go. There you go. Okay. Yeah, there you go. You get sand table particles in your vagina. But hey, you got to have sex with a virtual Hugh Jackman, you know, so it works out.
There you go. It's like, man, what's gotten into you? Well, you got sand in your vagina? As a matter of fact, I do. It's a long story. I don't want to talk about it.
long story. What's this Logan porn version here? Nothing! Put that
Get
away.
Out!
Get out!
Oh, God.
You know,
No, but you know, the thing is, like, with technology like that, it's obviously going to get abused, okay? Because if I had that technology, okay, what I would do, see, Norman, he trusts me way too much. So what I would do is get in my little sand table, okay, and be like, "Bring up Norman's car. Back it up into the next parking spot. Okay, that is all." And then text him.
Steal,
"Hey, can you come pick me up?"
You'd steal his parking spot?
Just
she's gonna steal
car,
your parking spot, Norman.
Three parking spots. No, move his car three parking lots away. So when he comes out, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Of course she would do
like
this
that,
to me.
You know?
Of course she would
I'm
do this to me.
Unfortunately, the favor would get returned, but still worth it.
Yeah, probably. Your car would end
Not
up.
Probably,
your car would end
most
up.
Certainly.
Yeah.
On her
knowing,
roof.
Knowing what. Yeah, knowing what, on the or maybe in an aircraft carrier flight deck, just after just after it pulls out of the harbor for like a month long sojourn.
Underway.
Yep.
You know what? Yep. But I'll tell you what. Okay, the one thing that I would use, literally, my mind is terrible. Okay, because you know when black.
Yeah, we've known that for a while, Egg.
And oh, wow, you're about to see. You're about to go and look through the peephole here, real quick. Okay?
Oh boy.
So Black Panther jumps out, throws these little fucking little bracelet, you know, beads, art craft, whatever. Okay, falls in the cars. Boom, engine shut down. And I'm over here. The first thing that comes to my mind is, let my bitch ass husband walk out on me in the middle of a fight. Unless I throw one at the car. Where the hell do you think you're going? I'm talking to you.
You'd EMP his car?
You
would EMP the car. Damn.
so he couldn't drive away.
Oh, damn. Yep. Don't give the EMP, those little EMP discs to angry Hispanic wives, because, wow. Okay.
Argument. Where are you going, Puto? I wasn't done talking to you.
Yep.
Look at you, sitting in the car. You look stupid. Okay.
Yep. Gonna have to get out and run. You have to get out and run for dear life.
I don't know why that's the Latino, like the female Latino thing to do. Look at you. Ah, you look stupid. And it's offensive, too. It's really offensive.
Eddie,
like, I am not stupid.
Yeah.
Eddie, aren't you glad you married a white girl?
Yeah.
That's why I married a white boy, because if I had another Latino, honey.
Yep. But one thing, you know, okay, I do have one thing that I hope happens, because the door's open for this and it would be so cool. So Black Panther ends with that, you know, you do have that mid-credit scene where it looks like T'Challa's going to kind of open doors and share the goodies. I know that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I know so far this season they did a time travel thing where they went into the future. But they're supposed to be back now in the present, and, you know, you're going to have people chasing them because, you know, they're supposed to be blamed for what happened to General Talbot. What I would love is, I know that in the comics, the Avenger Quinjets, some of them have been designed by the Wakandan design group, by T'Challa's people in Wakanda. What I would love is if you have like an episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. where, you know, Coulson and his people are on the run and they get confronted by, you know, the government troops or whatever that are chasing them. And they see like this, you know, this newfangled Quinjet, and, you know, somebody like Fitz or somebody is like, oh, where the hell did that come from? And, you know, you have one of their antagonists just doing this smug smile and go, oh, that's right, you haven't been around. Well, this is a gift from the Wakandan design group. This is our new Quinjet. And, you know, just like Fitz and Simmons, just like, wow, what, Wakanda did this? I thought they were supposed to be third world. It's like, wow, you need to catch up. Like, I would love a scene like that. Like I pray to God that they do something like that, you know, where we have, you know, where we have whatever's supposed to be replacing S.H.I.E.L.D. now using like Wakandan tech and just being like,
yeah, are you kidding me? Wakanda comes out of their little fucking like tech bubble. Okay. Everybody thinks they're a third world country. Okay. They come out making you now look like a third world country. Like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
What kind of topsy-turvy bullshit is this?
Yep. Well, and that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, one of the things that end scene does is it kind of opens the door for a lot of shit in the Marvel movies to be, you know, it just kind of throws something open, because now you can have, you know, beforehand where it was Stark tech or stolen Stark tech, it could come from the Wakandan design group. It could be something that got stolen from there, you know, or stolen from somebody who bought them. Or you could have somebody who, you know, who purchased stuff from them and is like, oh, wait, I didn't tell you I was going to use it to take over a small country. Oops. Oopsie, wow, it must have slipped my mind. Oh, wow, am I just so forgetful. You know, I would want to see more of that. I mean, hopefully something like that happens in S.H.I.E.L.D., where it's like, yeah, oh yeah, we got this from Wakanda. You know, I mean, you don't even have to have, like, you don't even have to have Shuri show up. You don't even have to have Lupita Nyong'o show up. Just have, like, this thing of technology and just be like, oh yeah, we got this from Wakanda. Hell, another thing I'm hoping is, you know, we were mentioning earlier that it's been said Shuri is smarter than Tony Stark. Hopefully in Infinity War or Avengers 4, we have a scene with Shuri and Tony and we get to see them face off. You know, we get to see them kind of try to out-tech each other. Because, I mean, come on, you don't say something like that and don't pay it off. You do not. Like, I want to see that. I really do.
I just know that Infinity War is going to be, I have such high hopes. Okay, it's just going to be just everywhere. Just everywhere.
Well, and here's the thing. We know, like, we already know. we already know from the previews that there's going to be a major fight in Wakanda. And it's like after seeing Black Panther and hearing, you know, after seeing Black Panther, that moment in the trailer where T'Challa is like, you know, seal off the city, you know, it's like engage the defenses, mobilize the army, and get this man a shield. You know, that line right there, after seeing all the cool shit that was in Wakanda, in Black Panther, it's like, oh, fuck, what's going to come out? What awesome toys are going to be popping out of the woodwork? What cool shit is Shuri going to be like, okay, I got this. I got this, big brother. You know, what stuff are we going to see come out to take on Thanos' army? Because it's like, now I'm even more excited because I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool.
Oh, yeah. And just by the trailer alone for Infinity Wars, you see that there's a lot of damage that is going to happen. There's a lot of hits that are going to hit hard. And it's going to break your heart.
Yeah.
You're going to feel hopeless. And then it's going to come back. And then it's not. And then yes. And then no. And it's I can't wait.
We'll see.
Did you guys see the, what is it? When you went and watched Black Panther, did you see the preview for Deadpool?
No, we didn't get Deadpool.
Damn it.
We did. Okay, we got you know what? We got Ant-Man and Wasp, but we didn't get Deadpool.
Oh, we didn't get Ant-Man.
We didn't get Ant-Man and Wasp?
Oh, wow. Yeah, no, we didn't get that one.
Yeah, no, we didn't. Now, which Deadpool one did you get? Did you get the one that started off with Cable and you could kind of see that the arm was unfinished?
Yeah, that's the one they showed us.
That was when he stops and it's like, come on, it's not like getting rid of a mustache.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that didn't get that one.
What was that one from? That was Superman, right?
Yeah, no, that was making fun of trying to get rid of Superman, of Henry Cavill's mustache for Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I mean, I
didn't
the first
well.
Time I the first time I saw that I saw that trailer, I was like, throwing crap at Justice League. DC. DC. No love. You do bad CGI. We are going to remind you. I'm sorry, but right now I'm laughing at DC's pain. I shouldn't do that. I just can't help myself. I can't help myself. But speaking of which, did anybody hear
let's
that...
Let's face it, DC's movies are subpar when they're not Batman.
Well, this is the thing. This is the thing, because it's like...
Disagree.
And somebody said this.
I hate them all.
Well, what about Wonder Woman?
Okay, Wonder Woman.
I did not like it.
I hate Batman so much, so yeah.
Okay, but Wonder...
I mean, you're allowed
to
hate Batman, but the movies themselves were pretty decent.
No. There's so many holes in the last one that you could drive a freaking aircraft carrier through.
Sorry, yeah. I take that back.
Okay.
I forgot about that one because I've literally seen it once and I couldn't stand it.
Okay, well,
and
but,
I forgot it
okay,
existed.
I think we can agree. I think we can agree that whether you love the movies or not, they made bank. They made bank, and there was enough love for the movies that it kind of created this mentality of like, okay, if we're going to do a DC film, let's do Batman because everybody loves Batman. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, even though Batman and Robin was like a cinematic atrocity and it took almost a decade before we got Batman Begins. The fact is we still got Batman Begins. The fact is that they still, you know, Warner Brothers, when Christopher Nolan came in and said, guys, look, I want to do a Batman movie, but hey, no, before you freak out, this is going to be a lot better than Batman and Robin, okay? No neon, no bat nipples, and we're going to make it, like, dark and gritty. You know, at least when he was able to sell that pitch, enough time had gone by that the execs were like, okay, yeah, no, let's do it. Let's fix the boo-boo. And then, of course, when Batman Begins did really well, it's like, yes, vindication, yeah! You know, it is interesting, though, to kind of bring things full circle. one of the things there was like an article, a couple of articles that were like bouncing around. I would see links on Facebook where after Black Panther comes out, now it's like people saying, hey, what if we get Wonder Woman's Amazons versus the Dora Milaje? And it's like, I see this and
oh.
I'm like, oh, oh dear God. It's like,
oh,
wow.
Oh boy, indeed.
That, you know, that is actually a fantasy matchup that I could be like, you know, actually, I would be curious to see how that would play out. I would be curious to see how that would play out. I think it's one of those things where it would just be like, no matter who wins, the audience wins. Like, whoever's watching this, whether you're reading it in a comic or you're watching a cartoon or you're watching on the big screen, it would just be like, okay, wow, I don't care what happens next. I'm just enjoying watching this. I mean, I don't. Am I wrong?
No, not at all.
Well, Trish, is that something you'd want to see? Amazons versus Dora Milaje?
That'd be awesome.
Now, who do you think would win, though?
Who would win? I don't know. You know, actually, for women, I think that they would actually talk things out and join forces and then take care of the guys. So.
But you don't think Wonder Woman and Wonder Woman and Okoye might try to, you know, see whose kung fu is stronger, so to speak?
No.
At least with maybe some playful sparring.
Each other. No. Well, maybe playful sparring, but and like training and stuff. But I think they would respect each other.
Okay, but who do you think, like, if it was a training fight, if it was just to kind of, you know, do a little skills test, who do you think would come out on top?
I have no idea. That's a good question.
Now, I'm not super familiar with DC lore. What, where do the Amazons get their powers from? Are they just super strong ladies? Or are they actually gifted?
They're gifted. See, this is the Amazons. With the Amazons, you have an entire island full of warrior women. You know,
right.
And they've been doing this. They've been doing this for thousands of years. You know, they did this. They did this when like the Greeks and the Trojans were fighting it out at the gates of Troy. You know, and they are doing it to modern day. So they're physically strong. And they are masters of warfare.
Right.
It's like...
So the reason why I ask this is because, as far as I know, the Wakandan women, they are just, you know, blessed with great tech. And just for sheer abilities alone, I would believe that ability tends to beat out tech.
Okay, from my understanding, the Dora Milaje, the tech is secondary. You know, they're also like trained from a very young age to be like the best warriors that Wakanda has to offer. You know, it just
Not saying that they aren't the best, but
yeah.
If the Amazons are actually like metahumans or whatever term you'd prefer to use, they would end up winning.
They would have an advantage. The thing is, though, is that now if we're talking MCU Dora Milaje, then they may, you know, yeah, I think the chances are the Amazons would have an edge because, you know, they the tech, you know, chances are the tech that they would have at their disposal would try to kind of close the gap, and then the rest of it would be...
Oh, for sure.
You know, chances are they would probably train, and God knows if there's still the spies out there, then somebody has told T'Challa and his dad, hey, look, there are people who are, you know, there are people emerging who have incredible strength, including somebody who claims to be a god and seems to have a hammer that can do some serious damage. So the next thing that they're doing is it's like, okay, next, you know, new training regime, we're going to teach you how to deal with opponents who are stronger and faster. So they would have additional training to kind of compensate, kind of like when you study judo And one of the things you learn is that it's not about, you know, who cares if the guy's bigger and stronger than you, you know, we're going to teach you now how to redirect that energy. So they would probably, I would say that things would even out. You know, there would be some kind of evening out, though the Amazons would have an advantage. If we're talking comic book Dora Milaje, then yeah, it would be a lot more even because, you know, it would be the same thing. They would have the tech, but they would also, just kind of, you know, they would have access to more, and they would have more knowledge of metahumans, that they would have stuff.
Right.
So, and if by some chance they were able to, like, this was one of those things where the universes collided and they could send somebody to scope out what the deal with the Amazons is, they would find something like, for example, if we're talking classic Amazons where for whatever reason, you know, they lose strength if they're cuffed together, then they would just be like, okay, so new plan, here's some energy cuffs. When you're engaging an Amazon, try to bind them together so that, you know, so that they can be chained and they can lose strength. It's like, okay, that's the strategy there.
Yeah.
But that's only if this is like classic un-PC kind of almost bondish fetishy Amazon. If not, then yeah, it would be something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we are getting down to like the final couple of minutes. I do want to say that, yeah, Black Panther, it's just, to me, it's another crown in the MCU jewel. I think it definitely goes, again, it's one of those, you know, just as I said that Killmonger kind of belongs in the top five as far as Marvel movie villains, I think that Black Panther belongs at least in the top five of the Marvel MCU movies. I mean, I know, Trish, agree or disagree?
Oh yeah, no, it's definitely up there. It's, you know, I really can't even say what I think my favorite one is because there's so many good ones.
Yeah.
So this one would have to be in the top five, if not the top three.
Yeah, Norm.
Well, technically, I believe the movie was really good. It was very well produced and directed and written and everything. I just couldn't find a whole lot of enjoyment in it. Like, it's one of those, okay, yeah, cool, I went and saw it. Now, unless there's a particular piece of lore I want to go back and check, then, you know, that's the only reason why I'd really go back and rewatch it. Definitely had some entertaining moments, but it didn't really ring, like, I don't know, it didn't really ring true with me. Like Iron Man 2 was one of my favorite Marvel movies overall.
Wow. Okay. No, that's
yeah, I know.
That's
fine. It's not one of the great ones, but I enjoyed it. That's like one of the ones I will go back and watch repeatedly.
Hey, that's fine. I like Iron Man. I like Iron Man 2 as well. I mean, I know some people, it's like, well, it's no Iron Man 1. It's like, okay, yeah, that's true, but it's not bad. But I will say this, though. So for next week, tomorrow is Oscars. It's the Oscars. And next week, we're kind of going to do our own little Oscar show. You know, we're going to have to watch and see how, you know, there are a few genre movies that are nominated for things. Shape of Water is named for some biggies. So we're going to see how they do, and we're going to discuss it. And you know what? We're also going to come up with some awards of our own to kind of show some love to movies we thought should have gotten love, or, you know, awards we think movies that we saw this past year, you know, awards that we think they should get. Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be our Oscar show. Please tune in. And the good news is we're not going to have unnecessary musical numbers, and we're not going to have forced jokes by presenters reading a teleprompter. We may actually dress up. We may actually dress up in some awesome fashion. Unfortunately, this is a radio show, so you can't see it. But hey, you know what? It's going to be fun. So yeah, tune in. So with that, I am your host, Eduardo M. Fryer, and joining me, of course, is my wonderful wife,
Patricia Fryer.
And also joining us is the ever fun.
What am I supposed to talk? I'm James Norman.
Yeah, James Norman. And yeah, just keep it real. So yeah, we're out. We're out. Thank you. Norm, how you feeling, dude? You all right?
I was so stuffed up today, and then I made the mistake of thinking I could eat Mexican food, and now my stomach's just coiled up.
Oh, geez. Well, hope you feel better, man. Yeah, you know what? And don't worry about the stuffed up thing. Actually, I've been dealing with a stuffy nose as well. There were a couple of times during the show I was actually on mute because I was blowing my nose.
Yeah, I turned off my microphone whenever I needed to as well. So.
Yeah. But you know what? You did good. You did good, man. I could not tell.
I couldn't show up for the whole thing. So.
No. Don't worry about it. Take care of take care of yourself, man. You know, if you have to come in a little later, that's fine. You know, I actually like having staggered calls.
Cool.
If you're feeling a little better, join us next week. You know,
but the Oscars is just one of those things that is like not super interesting to me. I actually don't even have like TV. I only have the internet.
Don't worry. You know what? Don't worry about it because a lot of it, my evil plan is, you know, whatever genre film wins whatever award, we're going to touch on it, but then we're going to have some fun and give out like awards of our own. So whatever movies.
All right.
Okay. So basically whatever movies you saw in 2017, if there was like an award, it can even be like a bullshit award type of thing. If you think that Justice League had the best side boob, you know, then just be like best side boob award League, that scene with Wonder Woman.
You're speaking to the perv in me. How dare you?
But you understand what I'm getting at. Like that's the thing. So when we're passing out our own awards,
something silly, like, nonsensical, whatever.
Exactly. Like for example, here's a little preview. I do want to give the award for Justice League for close but no cigar. For like you almost had it. Because it's like, look, it's Justice League. It's happy. We're actually trying to cheer things up. We're going to be as cool as Wonder Woman. And it's like, no, you're not. No, you almost had it. You tried, but you didn't quite make it. Oh, it's like you're on the bike. The training wheels are off. Oh, you're doing so well. Oh, there we go. Scraped knee. Oh, darn, darn. Almost, man. Come here. You need a hug. Here you go. Here's a hug. Okay.
I think I got one. I think I got one.
Okay, we'll save it.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but did Beauty and the Beast come out in 2017? The new remake, of course?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the one I'll probably focus on.
Okay, well, there you go. That's fine.
Because I spent half the year on a deployment, so I wasn't watching a whole lot of new movies. Beauty and the Beast is like the one that I saw.
That's fine. You know what? Don't worry about it. Worst case, if you need to, something you can do, something I would recommend is go to like Wikipedia or something. Like go to something where you could find a list of stuff that came out in 2017. Just be like, oh, this movie came out in 2017. So it's like, oh, okay, I can talk
good
about
point.
This. See, like, you do that.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good idea.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
Some homework.
Yeah, there you go. Do some homework, you know, just. So, yeah. Anyway, so let me let everybody go because, yeah, I gotta actually hang up the call, and you know, go downstairs actually have dinner with my wife. You know,
you have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, you have a wonderful evening too. Get better. Have some, you know, no Mexican. Have soup.
All right. See you guys.
Soup.
Bye.
All right. I will see you downstairs in just a moment, Trish.
Okay.